Hello, and thank you for stopping into another episode of the Ask a Private Lender podcast. As always, I'm your host, Lawrence from Mortgage Automator. And today I'm actually joined by Michaela. You may know Michaela. She's our social media coordinator. So if you're ever browsing our Instagram, our LinkedIn, Michaela is the great person who deals with all of that stuff. So definitely love seeing her posts. Why we have Michaela with us today is because we have an incredible guest for you, Tracy. Tracy Nguyen, thank you for stopping by today. We really appreciate your time. And for those of you who don't know Tracy, she's the founder and CEO of Bowo Creative, an incredible social media agency. She really does it all, but she got her start in the beauty industry and really exploded her business from there. Tracy, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you are the all-around entrepreneur, content creator, business coach, mentor as well. Can you tell us, like, how did you get your start in the social media arena? And like, what was your aha moment where you realized, like, this isn't just a bunch of platforms to communicate with your friends? This is like a real thing that businesses will be using, and they're going to be looking for experts. And how did you get started?
Yeah, long story, but I'm going to try to keep it as short as possible so we can talk about more important stuff. But I graduated from York University in business, and I always wanted to get into marketing. But for whatever reason, I went into management instead. And so after I graduated from school, I got a job in management, corporate job, and quickly, 3 months after working at that job, I realized that I was not made for this. I just hated sitting at the desk all day and looking at numbers. And I just found myself like watching other YouTubers creating their content. And back in 2012, Instagram was very new. Instagram was very organic. It just literally take a picture, apply one of those, you know, ready-made filters that they have that make your picture look really yellowish and post, right? So yeah. I was like, there's something about this. I don't know where this is going to go, but I saw some potential in social media. And then I was looking to start an online business, actually, something that I can do on the side, kind of like a side hustle while I still have my corporate job, because, you know, I couldn't just quit my job and pursue entrepreneurship. So I started looking into different options, and a friend of mine actually introduced me to a network marketing business structure. So I was like, great. They checked some of the things that I didn't have, and I didn't have to, you know, put my time and a lot of my effort into it. And so I registered my business. I got in and I realized it's not what I thought it would be. And then they were like, you know, you have to host all these beauty makeup parties at your home and invite your friends and family. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is not what I want to brand myself. This is not who I am. And like, I came to Canada when I was 16. So I don't have friends and family. I came here as a student, right? So who am I going to invite to these parties? So I started to look at different ways so that I can market myself differently, because I don't want to be labeled as one of those Avon ladies.
I hear you. And listen, nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
If that's your lane, then that's great. But you just recognized it wasn't for you.
Exactly. Yeah. That was just not how I wanted to create that image of me, and just wasn't authentically me. I couldn't see myself just hosting home parties and get people over. I'm not that kind of bubbly. Like, I don't have that kind of bubbly personality. I wasn't blessed with that kind of personality. So I'm pretty much an introverted as well. So I was like, you know, let me take a look at what other channels out there that I can really be myself and build my business at the same time. So that's when I discover that the blogs and, you know, the YouTube and social media, because I wanted to just review these products and tell people how I really think about these products, and whoever could relate, then, you know, they might become a customer. But I just didn't want to be doing all the hard sell stuff. And that's how I got started. So we're just reviewing a bunch of makeup products that I was selling. And then I started getting emails from agencies and from brands were like sending me free products. And like, you want to review this for us? And then it started with free products. And then it became paid partnerships. And I start to see more potentials than just my network marketing business at the time. And then even within that network marketing business, I was able to climb up pretty high and was almost like the top retailers and top recruiters of the year and most of the years because I was building this personal brand and I didn't do it the traditional way. So at some point, the corporate in the US also asked me to train their distributors on how they could build a personal branding as well. So that's when I started thinking like, wow, not only could I build this for myself, I can also help other people create a brand that really authentic to themselves and generate income or revenue for the business. And then I was doing those trainings and then I got more people coming to me for more questions. And it just, you know, kind of like snowball into like an agency now. And I left the network marketing business a while ago because I just feel like my business, the agency right now really speak to me and I can talk about branding all day long. You know, I can talk about helping women and female entrepreneurs all day long and I get really passionate about it. So I would say the network marketing was actually a blessing in disguise in the sense that it gave me the opportunity to see things that I couldn't see before, and now we're here. So
it was a stepping stone for you, yeah. Right? And you learned along the way. And I always feel like it's a formula, right? And if you understand the formula, whether it's in beauty, whether it's in mortgages, lending, you know, you stick to that same formula and you understand how to get it to the next level, you know, read the statistics, see what's working, see what's not working, and build whatever business it is. I find it interesting because social media hasn't been around for that long. And I think that there was a period of time where the big brands weren't really interested in it, right? They were doing their traditional marketing, their television commercials, their billboards. And I think there was a period where people were just cleaning up and understanding that this is the future. And over the years, of course, things have changed, right? Things that worked 5 years ago maybe aren't people would do today because algorithms change, trends, different forms of content. Like, how do you stay on top of all the latest trends? And is there something that businesses should focus on to ensure that it's always going to work and their social media platforms are always going to be great, regardless of all of the things that are surrounding and happening?
Absolutely. I shared with Michaela in the previous call that we had a little call last week that early this year in January, I woke up one morning and my Instagram account was disabled. Like, it was completely gone. Absolutely no warning, no reasons, nothing. And I built this Instagram account since 2012 and I had around like 20 to 23,000 followers on that account and it was gone like poops, like overnight. I had no idea. I'm still fighting to get it back.
You still don't have it?
I still don't have it. I decided to take 6 months off because, you know, I'm like a big believer of the universe.
Right.
The universe has your back, right? So when that happened, of course, I was like in shock and then took me a few days and I realized, you know, maybe this happened for a reason and maybe I need to take a step back and really focusing on actually building my business and create a system behind this whole social media thing so that I can become social media crash proof, right? And within 6 months, like our agency doubled our revenues. Like we hit the 2021 goal in 6 months. Wow. Without social media. So I'm so glad you asked that question because a lot of the time people think that they have to put all their eggs on social media or like it's like an all or nothing kind of mentality, right? And then they get really overwhelmed every time there's a change in algorithms and all of that changes that Instagram are doing. I think the best way to do is to go in with the right strategy and have a goal. Because sometimes business owners or entrepreneurs feel the need to be on social media because their competition's on social right. media, but they don't really have a clear strategy for themselves. They just kind of jump in and be like, oh, she's doing that and he's doing that and I should be doing this. But really what works for you might not work for other people and vice versa, right? So you need to really have that strategy for yourself and build it in a way that social media is like a icing on top of the cake, but your business right. system is the cake on itself. And also use social media as an amplifier for
for your brand, not something that you put all your eggs in. So there's so many other things that you should take into consideration. Like, do you have a funnel in place? Can you get leads while you sleep? Are you collecting your potential clients' information to your database? Because at the end of the day, you don't own that social media space. Like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Clubhouse, whatever it is, that's just a place that you rent to market your business, but you have to follow the rules. But if you have a website and you have a lead funnels or some sort of lead magnets going on your website, you have content on your website, at the end of the day, you own that database, right? You have people putting email, phone numbers or whatnot. And I was actually talking to another software company because we want to implement SMS marketing with our agency as well, because we were saying how, you know, these days people are even reluctant to give their email. So you have to really have a strategy with that email marketing. But email marketing till today is still the best form of conversion. It has the highest conversion rate compared to any social media platform. So there's so many other ways that you can build around your social media strategy so that you are solid.
Right.
Yeah, and you mentioned like strategy and how you can incorporate social media into, say, email marketing, like you have, like you said, the funnel, which is, yeah, very beneficial. Of course, you need to have like your goals in place, your strategy in place, and the social media is just a piece of that puzzle. So you know our audience, how would they be able to use social media and what other kinds of things should they be doing? What would you recommend for them to have in their strategy?
Yeah, when it comes to social media, like Lauren just said earlier, there's the formula is the same, right? And I like to call the content strategy the three E's. If you work on these three E's, your content will guarantee attract your target audience. But before that, you need to know who you're talking to, right? Like you need to really understand your target audience, where they're hanging out, you know, what kind of information they're looking to get. But the three A's essentially is if your content is sending some empowering message, that attracts a lot of people because we all need some positivity, especially during this time, right? And then educational, like especially for your target audience listening to this podcast and the industry that they are in, education is really important because people need to basically know more about you, know more about what you do, and then feel that they could trust you to actually come to you and do business with you, right? Because we're talking about lending and mortgage. And then the last one is entertaining. And then we see this with Instagram Reels a lot. You know, sometimes I start scrolling Reels and like 2 hours later, I'm still on the phone because it's just so entertaining. And if you can combine somehow, be entertained and provide education at the same time, that would be amazing. And Instagram Reels right now, because I have a feeling that Instagram is trying to drive TikTok out of business. They kind of did with Snapchat. So they really prioritizing contents that are Instagram Reels. I know it could be very intimidating for a lot of people who are not in the social media world, but trust me, it still takes me half an hour to create one reel. So we're all going through that, right? And exactly, you know how it is, Michaela. Stop focusing on having perfection and just kind of put something out there and be authentic. Yeah. And you're going to attract the right audience.
But is it quality over quantity or quantity over quality?
Absolutely. Quality over quantity. But sometimes I feel like when I say that, people think quality is like, oh, I have to look like this influencer or this person that has, you know, millions or hundreds, thousands of followers. But you can still get customer and you can still build a business with less than 1,000 followers on social media if you can deliver the right content to the right people. So understanding your audience, number one, is super important before you even go out to do anything. And number two is understanding you, like who you are. How do you want the world to see you instead of looking at everyone else and trying to do what everyone else is doing? Like, I just cannot dance, right? And so like my reels, you won't see me dancing whatsoever, but I really enjoy doing those like lip sync, you know, like the polls and like putting a little attitude, like in a little sassy attitude, and people love it. So I'm like, oh, that's like my lane. You know, just gonna go with it, right? So find something that actually works for you and you actually have fun doing it. And number three is actually have a goal in mind, like what is it that you want to achieve by putting out this content? Because again, like followers and likes and all that stuff are vanity metrics. At the end of the day, how much money is your business generating from this content that you're putting out is a more important question.
Right, right. Yeah, you mentioned IG Reels, and like that's a really popular form of content these days, is like those short videos, right? And funny, you mentioned TikTok as well. TikTok has been a popular up and coming platform, and also Clubhouse. I think you mentioned that a little bit earlier as well. What are your thoughts on platforms like TikTok and Clubhouse coming into the social media game and businesses jumping on those? Yeah, what are your thoughts on those?
I think that you have to understand your audience, like the very basic part to start, because then you will know where they hang out. I am personally not on TikTok just because my type of audience or my type of clients are small to medium business looking to scale their business and is overwhelmed already. They don't have time to run the social media. That's why they're looking to hire our team to come in and help them. So they're not going to be on TikTok watching me giving content, right? But let's say if I have an online course that teach, you know, maybe solopreneur or a new entrepreneur to grow their brand and the business online, then maybe TikTok is the place to be to give them some tips and tricks and get them to see that I have values to offer, right? But that's unfortunately not my current target audience. So I'm not on TikTok. I'm also not on Clubhouse because again, that's not where my target audience is on. I think that every single social media platforms that you see out there has its own potential, but the good news is that you don't have to be on every single one of them. And the good news is that once you know exactly who you're talking to, you can really have a solid strategy to go about those.
What about though, like Facebook started, right, as a university platform, right? You needed like a Harvard and then it got other universities and then it opened up to anybody and then it opened up to children. And then you see the same thing with like an Instagram where it started out as a younger demographic. And now it seems like Michaela puts posts up on the Mortgage Automator Instagram, my mother's commenting on them, you know? Like things change. So when you're talking about demographics on like a TikTok, for instance, and now it's a younger crowd, I think I've seen a shift a little bit to an older crowd. Right. Do you think that in 5 years, if a TikTok is still around, it's going to be a different platform? And if it is a different platform, do you want to get an early start or do you just figure it out later?
Good question. And I think Gary Vee has a really good talk on this one because he always recommends to go into the lane that is not too crowded. Because it's easier for you to stand out because your content is different than the rest of the content that is pumping out, right? So I cannot say, you know, an ultimate answer because at the end of the day, it goes back to who is your audience and where they're hanging out. Things change, obviously. That's why I didn't say young or old. I said my audience is the type that too busy, don't have time for social media, right? So it's more than just a target audience kind of thing. You need to really look at like, what is your niche? And a lot of the time, I think people misunderstand niche being an industry, but a niche is not an industry. A niche is actually what kind of problem you're helping your target audience solving, right? So when you have that niche in mind, and again, your niche might change. Like you said, you're in business. Nothing's going to stay the same. Whatever I'm saying today might become obsolete tomorrow if Instagram or TikTok start to change, right? So it's really important for you to always keep your eyes and ears open, always learning, which is why I love that you guys have this podcast and have this conversation, right? Always learning about what's coming up next and really see where is the best strategy for yourself and for your business.
That makes sense. I love how you said that you could create a business with less than 1,000 followers. I think people get caught up in the larger accounts that have millions of followers and hundreds of thousands of followers. And you can have an account with 100,000 followers, but if no one really cares about you or what you're posting, the 100,000 is useless, right? I'd rather have 500 followers that really want to know what's going on. I always find that interesting that people don't understand that. And I think it's just about building a great community, right, on your platforms who look forward to your posts. How do you gain the right followers, build the right community, and do it the right way? Because I know that people buy followers and like, that's just more for
vanity
and wanting people to see they have a lot of followers, but those followers are useless to them. Right. So how do you do it the right way?
Yeah, great questions. First of all, you need to actually make a decision not to be one of those people that are chasing the vanity metrics, which I think is really difficult because such a peer pressure thing, right? Like you on Instagram, you see everyone else having tons of followers and all these views, but a lot of the time you don't know how many of those followers are actually paid customers. The first thing is to really decide to focus in your own lane and do the right things at the beginning. And then the second thing is to market research your target audience. I love Instagram stories because I can always run those, you know, little polls, yes or no, and ask me a questions, because then I can actually find out more about my audience and find out what it is that they are looking to learn from me. And social media is not about you. You know, if you want to build the right community, it's actually about your community. It's still about you in terms of your branding and who you are and what you want to stand for. But in terms of putting content out there, it's not what you think they need, might not be something that they need. So utilize Instagram stories or asking questions. And I know like Facebook have a lot of Facebook group that is very niche with certain industry. Like for me, I'm a part of Women in Marketing because that's literally where my target audience is at. And I go on there and I would ask questions like, ladies, what is the number one struggle when it comes to growing your engagement on Instagram, right? And then people would actually give me all of their struggles. And then from there, I realized, okay, I know a way that you can overcome this. So let me create content that people are already asking for, right? So that's another thing. And second thing is, like you said, social media is about building community. So make sure that you have that conversation with your people. Every time a new follower starts to follow me, I send them a DM, and it's not a bot, like a ready-made message, but it's something like, hey, thanks for give me a follow. And can I know more about what you do? What industry are you in? And where did you find me? That's also a great place because I just started to rebuild my Instagram from scratch. And I think today I have like 400 followers, but I messaged them and I asked them because I want to know where they are finding me so I can adjust my strategy and focus on that place more. And right. Surprisingly, the three people that messaged me today said, I found you on the Explore page. So I'm like, yes, I made it on the Explore page, right? So that means like I need to keep pumping out content. Ask questions like that. A lot of big brands and big influencers, a big business out there, they're not doing that. So when you do this kind of steps, you're different and people actually think that, wow, like Michaela genuinely care about this relationship and care about me following her. And even if they're not ready to buy right now, you already made a good impression on them. Down the road, whenever they're ready to be your clients, they might reach out to you and ask you questions. And that happens a lot to me.
Make it personal, you know, kind of turn it from like a business page to a, oh, there's actually a person behind this account that we can interact with and they're real.
Sure. Like engaging with your audience is really important. And they do need to know that there's someone on the other side and that we do care about people that are interacting with the account and stuff. And you mentioned like, you know, pumping out content, posting to stories, doing polls, answering questions, all those things are really great. How would you say are some things that you do to help increase the engagement? Like, sure, you throw up a story poll, but how are you going to get people to want to, you know, reply to it or ask you questions or interact with your posts, leaving comments and stuff like that? So yeah, building the community, but then how do you get them to interact more?
You interact with them first. it's just kind of like, I think if you make it a lot more simple, think of it as like our everyday life, right? Like you're not going to walk into a room full of people and say, hey, my name is Tracy and this is what I do, buy my service, right? You're going to come to them and say, hey, nice to meet you. My name is Tracy and this is what I do. What do you do, right? Have that conversation with your target audience first and just go from there. Like for example, I'm actually currently coaching a mortgage broker. And for her, I encourage her to actually interact with her target audience, which is first-time home buyer, you know, young couples, and just commenting on the family pictures. Be as human as possible and give them comments. Compliments always work. And it makes them want to go to your profile and finding out more about what you do. And like I said, every engagement that goes out is not a direct transaction. So it's not like you going to engage with this person, they're going to engage back to you. But over time, it's like building a business. is going to start hitting a point where it starts to become exponential. And the people that you engage with or interact with 2-3 months ago now wanting to buy a house and need a mortgage, right? And they might remember, oh, she actually was really nice and she commenting on my photos and my posts all the time. Let me just say hi, reach out and see if she's a good fit. I don't think social media should be your conversion strategy. I think social media is your brand building and your exposure strategy. And if anything, building a brand on social media is going to help cut your selling time into half, but you still got to do that sales work. But with people already know you, or if they go on social media and they check you out and they're like, I like her. I like the content she put out. I like the values or, you know, the vibe, then it's easier for them to come to you and become your client.
Do you follow back? So someone follows you, you message them, you introduce yourself. Where do you find, do you give them a follow back?
If the content is something I want to follow, yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. There is nothing wrong about following more people than the followers you have.
Yeah, I know that's always a thing that I see, right? Where it's like, oh, how many people are they following? Because they're probably following people to get a follow back. So people try to keep their following low.
Yeah.
But it makes it look like you're a bigger account that way.
That's just the same as following vanity metrics, right? That's the whole thing. At the end of the day, I feel more secure and more confident if I know my business is thriving and 100%. Is successful than how many people I'm following on social media. Sure.
I'm all about vanity. I'm only kidding. But no, because you know what, the average person on these platforms, they only look at the biggest accounts and they say I need to be like the biggest accounts, but they don't realize you don't have to be like them. You can still be very successful and do extremely well by just being yourself and doing whatever you want to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, being all about authenticity and showing off who you are and your brand. Yeah.
Right.
That might be a better way to do it because you have no pressure. You know, you don't get stressed out anytime Instagram changes algorithm because you have a solid business that is running and social media is, like I said, icing on top of the cake. So it's like generating leads and traffic to your business, but your pond is always full of fish. So you're not worrying about how many people I'm following or how many people are following me.
Right.
Yeah. Switching lanes a little bit here, but back to like the content types. What are your thoughts on A/B testing? Trying out different kinds of posts, trying out the same kinds of content, but in a different way. What kinds of things have you tried or would you give examples of?
Yeah, absolutely. Like as a social media agency, we A/B testing all the time because we need to make sure that we'll always track and adjust our content and optimize what we're doing. A/B testing is actually more common when we do paid ads. And what it is that you can have the same ads going out, but different copyright, the same graphics and different copyrights and see which one attract the most impressions and the most leads to your business. Or you can have the same copyrights and different graphics and see which one people react to better. Now, when it comes to creating your content, it wouldn't be this kind of event and it requires this much of work. But if you're on Instagram and if you don't know already, when you go to your insights, it will show the reach, the impressions and your audience. And then there's a little part that say post. So you can click on that. And you can actually look at the posts that you have been generating for over the last few days. And you can select to see how many followers or reach or likes or comments that you have been getting from these posts. And if you see that there's one post that stands out in terms of getting more engagement, getting you more followers, then go back to that post and see what did I do here that people like a lot? And can I duplicate this with different topics and produce the same kind of content? So that's not exactly A/B testing, but that's something that you can do that doesn't require too much of the advanced thing. Like you don't have to do too much testing, but when it comes to pay ads, always A/B testing because you really don't know which one is your winning copy. And with the A/B testing, the purpose is finding that winning copy, the one that actually generate the most results with the lowest CPC, which is cost per click. That means you spending less, but generating more results for your ads.
Right.
You put up a post recently on Instagram, why your business isn't really growing. I think it was like three reasons why. Talked about, you know, you're focusing too much on social media, not enough on lead funnels. I know you talked about lead funnels earlier in the conversation, but what should companies be doing to make sure, number one, they have a great balance? And what are some examples? How can they focus on a lead funnel? what should they be doing to make sure that they're converting and they're making money and leads are coming in? Because you were saying leads should come in when you're sleeping. Wake up, oh, more business, right? That's the ultimate goal. It's not just about posting random posts and getting nothing out of it. So what would you do to make sure that, number one, you have the right balance, but number two, leads are coming in?
Number one is I suggest you to build a social media strategy around your business and not your business around a social media strategy. So when it works that way, for example, at our agency, what we're doing is social media, we're pumping out content that attract the right target audience. However, the next step, okay, we got new followers. What's the next step? The next step is to create content that asks them to opt in to our free offer, which is, you know, a free branding checklist, a free Instagram guides, or a free 2021 tips and hacks, you know, something similar like that, which is free. Because these days, no one subscribes to your newsletter anymore, to be honest. Like, people don't want more emails in the inbox unless there's some values, right? So it depends on what industry you are in. For us, like when we work with real estate agents, we ask them, can you think of something that you can offer your target audience for free? So one of the agents offer a free first-time home buyer guide. Like, what do you need to know, what you need to do if you are first home buyers, right? Because that's her target audience. And the good things about having these, what I call the lead magnets, right? Because it's attract people to you and they put in their emails and the phone numbers or whatnot, is that A, you collect their information, which then you can go on and nurture that leads. You can send them more information. You, let's say an interest rate is increasing, or there's a new stress test with the mortgage. You can send them emails and educate them on that. You can send them email to build relationship with them simply by sending an email saying, hi, you know, thanks for subscribing to my list. This is who I am. Who are you? I would love to connect and see, you know, are you looking to buy a home, or are you looking to invest in like the, you know, the next few months, or the next few years? I would love for you to have me in your emails, you know, something really personal like that. And then number three is that if they download that lead magnet or free offer, they qualify themselves as somebody who's ready to have that talk with you. Right, so you're right. Not just talking to the random, you're talking to people who you already know, hey, if they download this, they're interested to at least learning more about this. So that's how we do it, social media content, and then social media content that drive them to opt in to the leads. And then once they go to that, what we call elite funnels, then they go down to the funnels. We send out monthly emails to update them about the new Instagram changes or any social media tips and tricks to kind of build up that credibility, to let them know we know what we're talking about. And then once they're ready, all of our newsletter have a call to action. So if you're struggling to create a brand or build your business on social media, book a free discovery call with us. And that's how we funnel them to the next step, which is booking a call with any of our team members. We give them a free audit in terms of their branding. And from there, because now they know what they're not doing well, because sometimes people don't know, right? They don't have the tools to run these in-depth analysis on their SEO, their website. So when we can point out what it is that they are still lacking and the competition is doing better than them, now we can offer our solutions and not just selling a Band-Aid to everybody. We're selling the Band-Aid to someone who is needing it.
Makes sense. You know, you think about like Super Bowl commercials, right? People spend millions of dollars for like a 10-second commercial. And the point is to get as many eyeballs as possible on your piece of content, your commercial, your billboard, or whatever it is. Yeah. I always think about like these people who have no following at all, right? They produce one piece of content and it goes viral. And now all of a sudden they have a business if they capitalize on it correctly. It seems like everyone has that goal of, I want to create that content that's going to go viral. It's almost like a shortcut to success if you could do it properly. What do you think you need to do in order to create a piece of viral content? And have you ever had any of your pieces of content go viral before?
Yeah, I actually had, but it's a shame that I can't show it because my Instagram is gone. You know, what's actually funny is that there is really no formula to go viral. The formula that everyone is looking for, correct me if I'm wrong, or I haven't found one yet, but honestly, the most random content that I've done went viral. And right. The one that I put so much like thought and energy and I pour my heart out and like no one is reading, you know?
Yeah, and that's like, the way it goes.
Right? Like I had a post, I think this was 2019 going to 2020, and I was just saying 2018 was the lesson, 2019 was preparation, and 2020, like I'm ready for success kind of thing. And it went insane. Like I got 2000 saves and like 3000 shares on Instagram. That post hits like 10,000 likes, and that was like that one post, and I'm like, what did I do, right? So I'm like, I'm trying to pump out more of those kind of content, and it didn't have the same effect. So I wouldn't be worried about going viral. I would be more focusing on creating content that make me feel good, make my audience feel good, and ultimately providing values, because shortcut is good, but it's not always the most stable one. You can have one piece of content that goes viral and then it goes flat. Maybe if you guys ever find out, let me know.
I think it's difficult, but I think that's why people are attracted to TikTok, because I feel like TikTok, you can put up a video and it's just so much easier to get the eyeballs, the likes, the followers than any other platform. That's at least my personal opinion towards. I don't think it's better or worse than any other platforms. I just think that just the ability to go viral, get more followers, it just seems easier there.
I think because TikTok is still running it the organic way, not the funny Instagram algorithm or whatever Facebook is doing.
Yeah.
And
it's very oversaturated. Yeah. Right now, so it's like,
it is a organic growth or the organic algorithm, there's always easy for you to grow because people that genuinely like your content can actually see your content.
Yeah.
LinkedIn is another really underrated platform that I also encouraged a lot of entrepreneurs to get on, because after Microsoft bought over LinkedIn, it's now like a whole different machine on its own. And there's a lot of potential there. And again, speaking directly to your target audience, LinkedIn might be a better place than Instagram. Again, depending on who you're talking to, right? So there's a lot of different platforms that you can go on. And I don't think having a goal to go viral should be the main thing for your business. I mean, if you're an influencer, you know, feel free to do that. But I think the goal for your business should always be growing and scaling sustainably.
Yeah. So you mentioned LinkedIn, you talked about Instagram, a bunch of different platforms out there. And you talked about lead funnels and all these things. What services, I guess, would you say that you currently provide to your clients? Like, do you cover Instagram strategies? Do you do the whole thing? Do you create the content? Do you do the daily posting and monitoring? Like, what kind of things do you offer? And yeah, what do you do for clients?
So we offer both done for you and done with you kind of packages. So the done for you is really to the entrepreneurs who basically started the business, wore all the hats, and now they're just overwhelmed. And they're like, I much rather focusing on what I'm doing well in my business than try to figure out the next Instagram algorithm. So they come to us, we come in, and it's pretty much hands off for them. And we work very closely with them actually to make sure that our social media strategy also tie in with their overall business strategy. And then we have a done with you where we come in, and usually, like I mentioned, is a lot of them are brand new or fresh kind of business owners. So we come in and we help them with a whole branding package where we create the brand, we create a social media strategy for them, and also create Canva templates where they can just plug and play, and social media banners. We help them optimize their websites, but that's more like a one-time thing. And then they have that strategy, they can run with it. And if they have any questions, they can always come back and our team will be more than happy to support.
So they can come in, basically ask for everything or ask for pieces. You can help them in any area that they're looking for help. I know, like for us personally, like it's tough to run your own business and also worry about all the externals. Like, and you know, it's funny, I say externals, but really it's internal, and really it's probably one of the more important parts of your business, right? And people, I don't think, realize this. And I know I didn't realize this at first, but the marketing, the social media, like the lead funnels, like this is the core of your business. And if you can't give the focus that is required in order to be successful there, you have to get an agency like yours on the team to help you with that, or get someone full time to help you with that, because it's so important. And I think that more and more businesses are realizing this. And that's why I know you started out in beauty, but now you're getting calls and reach outs from every industry, because they're starting to understand as well. So we deal with lenders and brokers, but Tracy could be a great option for you guys. You should totally think about reaching out and seeing what she has to offer and how she can help you. And like, how do people get in touch with you?
Our website is Bowo Creative. So BOWOcreative.com. And it should have all of my information, so the team and everything there. So you guys go check it out. We also offer free audit. So it doesn't matter if you're in the beauty industry or not, if you just want to hop on a quick call so you can see where you're at in terms of your social media presence and your online presence, we'd be more than happy to offer that as well. And I'm a big firm believer of focusing on your lane. So I try not to branch out to too many things, but I do have other people in my network that also do similar things in different industries. So even if we're not a good fit, I can always refer you to someone else who can help you better as well.
And if people want to get to know you a little bit better, you do have your own podcast, right?
I do.
Tell us a little bit about your podcast, where they can find it, what you focus on there. And
yes, so my podcast is called Her Inner Badass. And we talk about pretty much everything that the mainstream media is not talking about when it comes to growing a business and growing your brand as a woman in all different kinds of industry. And it's actually so funny because the day before I planned to launch my podcast, my Instagram disappeared.
Yeah.
Oh, so that was when it happened.
So I had an Instagram account called Her in a Badass, but now I changed it to my current Instagram. So you can actually find me as TracyNguyen.co. Reason why I don't want to say, because my name is really long and my last name is almost impossible for anyone to spell out. So the podcast is picking up in September because I'm building back, but you can find the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and also Google Podcasts. So we're there. Just type in Her Inner Badass and you'll be able to find me.
That's amazing. Tracy, we really appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such an honor. And I said this to Michaela as well, that is very difficult now to grow an account back, and any kind of exposure is much appreciated. So it's such an honor to talk to you and having you guys allow me to be here and share my two cents. So thank you so much.
Really appreciate it. And for our listeners, reach out to Tracy. She's great. I know you're busy funding deals and doing all your mortgage related stuff. Get a professional on the team. Let them help you out. You'll see the benefits of this sooner than you think. It does take time to build, but in the long run, it's definitely an important part of your business that you just can't forget about. So Tracy, thanks again. We really appreciate it. And yeah, maybe we can talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask a Private Lender podcast. Go to askaprivatelender.com to check out the other episodes. Follow Mortgage Automator on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and we're Automator Group on Twitter. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye!